Good morning and welcome to Meyerstown Church of the Brethren this morning. I'm Pastor Dennis. Good to see you each with us and welcome some back that haven't been with us for a while. Barb, good to see you this morning. A couple of announcements. This week we're praying for those on page 35 in the church directory. We're also praying for the Lebanon Church of the Brethren, and the Hatfield Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Another prayer concern, Ruth Heller is in Lancaster General Hospital, doing okay, but the heart failure that she's experienced before kind of flared up again, so she is in Lancaster General right now. There are a number of bulletin announcements. Just call your attention to Harvest Home coming up. If you're bringing items for Harvest Home, they're due next Sunday. The Bazaar, looking for some folks that can provide some soup. Poinsettia orders. Apple dumpling season is here, so that's coming up too. So just read those announcements in the bulletin and respond accordingly. I was advised by several people this morning that one of our number has a birthday this morning, and so we want to sing happy birthday to Eleanor Brubaker. Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Eleanor. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Eleanor. It's good to be part of the family of God, and we just celebrate with you today. Let's come together as the family of God and worship as Barb leads us.
this beautiful day that God has given us. It's not raining. So can everybody stand for the call to worship? God is calling you today.
Help us to hear God's call.
God needs your gifts and graces to help each other.
May we use the blessings which God has given us to benefit others.
Come, let us worship and celebrate God's love for us.
Let us show our faithfulness in our words and actions.
Okay, can we turn to the blue hymnal to 28? Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit. Say the unison prayer together. Gracious Lord, call us together as your people. Transform us into your image as we seek to follow you. Transform our spirits that we may be the God of Christ, gathered to worship and sent out to serve. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. I'm going to read from Romans 12:1-8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think about sober judgment, which according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry and in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassion in cheerfulness. Okay, we're going to be having a hymn sing.
Good morning. This is your time to pick out your favorite hymn. We're going to do four hymns this morning. First and last verse. First and last verse. Can I hear a number, please? 144. In the brown hymnal. Blessed Assurance, okay.
Thank you.
Again?
302.
Thought this morning, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I not thrown open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not be room enough to store it. Okay, well, we'll have an offering prayer. Today, O Lord, we offer you our sacrifice of time, energy, and love. Accept these gifts that they may continue the good work of Christ in our church, in our community, and in our world. Okay, may we quiet our hearts in prayer. Dear holy saints of God, we join our prayers of praise to yours this day. With you, we sing of God's goodness, rejoice in God's mercy, and celebrate God's incredible love. Teach us to live as you lived, always thinking of others, always recognizing weakness, always rejoicing in God's gifts, always closely following Jesus. Blessed are you, happy are you, all you holy saints of God. Prayers for us that we do may someday be among God's holy ones. Amen. Okay, the Brown Hymnal, 311. Could all the children come up for the children's story?
Gee, Will and Charlotte, I guess it's just you this morning, huh? That's okay. Yep. Charlotte and I spent some time in Sunday school, too, so yes. By now, you probably have noticed some things changing outside, right? What kind of things have you noticed changing outside?
The trees are half green and half red.
Trees are half green and half red. What about you, Will? Notice it?
The days are getting short.
The days are getting shorter, yeah. Yeah. In fact, in what is it, next weekend, we change the clocks. Yes. Okay, I should have reminded you that during announcements. Next weekend, we change clocks. Yeah, so that's a change too, right? We move them back an hour. We get an extra hour of sleep. Yes. You like that, so do I. You don't like that? Okay.
I like to wake up early to watch my iPad.
Ah. Well, you know what? I think, let's see, Charlotte, you're 9? Okay, how old are you, Will? 7, okay. 7 years ago, you were kind of tiny, weren't you? Yeah. And look what happened. Yeah, you're growing up. And you know what? You're going to grow up some more. You've changed, right? You've changed, and you're going to change some more. In a few moments, Susie's going to read a scripture for us, a story in Luke's gospel about Jesus calling his disciples. And one day he was preaching on a lake, and he asked Peter, and who he didn't know is Peter didn't know Jesus at that time. Peter was a fisherman. He asked Peter if he could have room on his boat to fish, and Peter said, "Oh, okay, go ahead." And when he was done preaching, he said to Peter, "Now take your boat out in the water and throw in the nets." And Peter says, "Why should I do that?" "Because we were fishing all night and we didn't catch a single fish." Well, Peter went out and he cast the nets. They threw the nets and they caught so many fish, the boat was about to sink. And When they got back to shore, Jesus asked Peter, "Come follow me." And Peter, the scripture says, that they brought their boat ashore and they left everything and followed him. And Peter went from becoming just a plain old everyday but important job, fisherman, and he became one of Jesus' disciples. He made a change too in his life. He changed his life from being a fisherman, and Jesus told him, from now on, you're going to fish for people. So that, I think part of that story tells us that when we sense Jesus is calling us, he's to do something, to be something, to change something about ourselves, we need to listen to him, okay? And not just grow up, you know, taller and smarter and all that kind of stuff, but to grow up in trust in Jesus too, okay? Let's say a prayer. God, I just pray that these children that Will and Charlotte will grow up in you, and that they will come to know you, and that they will respond to your call on their life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. You got
to join. Okay, I am going to read from Luke 5, 1 to 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he was finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners into the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats. So then they began to sink. But then Simon Peter saw it, and he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who are with him were amazed at the catch of the fish that had taken. And so also was James and John, sons of Zebedee, and who partnered with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching people." When they had brought these boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him.
Well, I think fall is my favorite time of the year. I love the changes that take place. As I drive from home here to the church, I've been watching cornfields turn from brilliant green to brown and now being harvested. And I've seen some fields sprouting with winter wheat in anticipation of the next growing season. And of course, the trees changing from green to red and orange and yellow, and some flowers forcing their last blooms of the season. I've noticed geese flying south and some birds in our yard, kind of like they were asking me, "When are you going to get the feeders out here for us?" So I guess I better get them up. All of these transformations taking place around us right now got me thinking about other things that might transform. Things like butterflies that start out as an egg, become a caterpillar, form a chrysalis, and then emerge into a beautiful butterfly. Or a frog that begins as an egg and becomes a tadpole and matures into a frog. There are those seeds in the apples Earl gave me that have the potential to become a tree, or dough rising to become bread as it's baked in the oven. I actually came across a website that showed how you can transform a 2-liter soda bottle, into a broom, bottle caps into tea lights, a bicycle into a bathroom sink stand, old credit cards into guitar picks, an old grand piano into bookshelves, and an old drum set into a chandelier. If you're interested, the link for that will be in the text version of the sermon that goes out tomorrow. But like all of those things, you know, people also transform and change. Babies grow up to become adults. David once was a shepherd boy and became a king, and some Galilean fishermen became disciples of Jesus. Transformation happens. Growth and change are to be expected with time. And sometimes it comes so fast that it knocks our socks off. And other times so slowly we don't realize it is happening. To transform means to change. In fact, Merriam-Webster says that transform means to change in composition or structure, to change in outward appearance or form, or to change in character or condition. How transformation and change happen in us and what the results look like is greatly due to decisions and choices we make. The decisions that we make matter. They shape our lives. Studies show that the average person makes about 70 decisions or choices a day. That's 25,500 decisions a year. Over 70 years, that's 1,788,500 decisions. It's been said that life is a sum of all of our choices. So you put all of those 1,788,500 choices together, and to a great extent, they've shaped who you are. Obviously, life today is full of choices, sometimes an overwhelming number of choices. I've read that Walmart has over 100,000 items in each store. Or think about those 100, 200, or 300 channels available on cable or satellite TV services, and you still can't find something worth watching. But those are easy choices. Life puts in front of us more difficult choices, the kind that really do shape our lives, like the choice to go to college or not, or the choice to get married or not. All decisions we make have consequences. You experiment with drugs, you might get addicted, you might end up in treatment, or you might end up, well, dead. You have a child. You have sex with a boyfriend or a girlfriend and pregnancy results. You have a child to raise, or you opt for the easy way out, as they say, in an abortion, or you make the choice to give up the child for adoption. Choices we make in life are the same way. They shape or form, and they're going to have an impact on our lives and will determine in some way the trajectory our lives take. A couple years ago, I remember my grandson, Will, making some big decisions that in the years since have opened up a whole new set of possibilities for him. He was about 6 at the time, and you might not think these are big things, but for a 6-year-old, I think they were pretty big. The first decision I remember him making was to ask his dad to take the training wheels off his bicycle. He surprised himself when he got off on the bike, and he rode it without the training wheels. And today, living in the Netherlands, he rides bicycle everywhere, to school, to stores. And now at the age of 12, he started doing some long-distance rides with his mom and dad. The second choice, that same summer, actually, I remember, he said he really wanted to go into the deep end of the pool. But we kept telling him, well, you can't go into the deep end of the pool until you learn to swim. And you can't really learn to swim until you can hold your breath and put your head under the water. Up until that time, he'd gotten about as far as his nose, but had not put his whole head under the water. Well, he did it, finally. And then he kept doing it, under the water, over and over and over again. 6 years later, he's earned his top-level swimming certificate in the Netherlands, required of children in the Netherlands, and he's now taking rowing lessons, little decisions that have opened up new possibilities for him. You know, in the midst of those decisions that we make in our lifetimes, there's one really that every person has to make. There's no way around it. It's the decision to believe or not believe in God, the decision to accept God's gifts of salvation in Jesus Christ or not. One way or another, we all make that decision. We make it by consciously choosing to believe and follow, or by consciously choosing not to believe and go our own way, or by ignoring that decision altogether as if it doesn't really matter, which really is making a decision. Every decision we make can have a life-shaping impact on our lives. And the one that we make for Jesus is the biggest one we will ever make. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul places a life-changing decision before us as he challenges us to consider the urgency of this particular decision. He says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to choose God's ways, to present yourselves holy and acceptable before God. And we become holy and acceptable before God through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We become holy and acceptable before God through a decision to follow in Jesus' steps, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through Jesus Christ. And Paul urges us to choose wisely, to choose what is good and acceptable and perfect, to choose to reorient our lives according to God's will, to reorient our thinking from a worldly mindset to a godly mindset. Enjoy reading about our brethren Anabaptist and Pietist heritage. In that reading, I've come across a German word that kind of captures what I think Paul is talking about in this morning's text in Romans. The German word is Gelassenheit, and it can be translated as yieldedness, resignation, or abandonment. Similarly, in our Monday evening Bible study of 1 Peter, we're using a Right Now Media video series, and part of this past week's study included some words from 1 Peter 2:13, where he says, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority." Kyle Eidemann, the narrator of the video, said that to submit means to place yourself under the authority of another by choice. Yieldedness, resignation, abandonment, submission. From a faith perspective, to submit means to allow God to work in and through us as we abandon our will and desires to God's will and God's desires. It's an emptying of self in order to allow the presence of Jesus to root deep within our souls. It's that universal call I mentioned several weeks ago, the first great commandment, to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul. When God has our hearts, he then works at transforming us into something that is good and acceptable and perfect. One day by the Sea of Galilee, the crowds were pressing in on Jesus, and he saw some fishermen's boats. So he asked one of the fishermen, Simon, also known as Peter, if he could put the boat out into the water so he could sit on it and teach. Simon agreed, and when Jesus had finished teaching, he told Simon to take the boat out to the deep water and drop the nets. I can imagine Simon saying to himself, "What's this teacher know about fishing? We fished all night and didn't catch a thing." But he made a decision, a life-altering decision. "If you say so, we'll let down the nets." And they caught so many fish that the boats were about to sink. Amazed and just a little bit afraid, he fell at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." But Jesus was getting to his heart. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you'll be catching people." And when they brought their boats ashore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Simon Peter's life was reoriented, transformed, filled with new possibilities, all because he made the decision to let down his nets when Jesus called. He voluntarily submitted to Jesus, and that decision shaped the rest of his life. The question I ask this morning is, How are we called? Well, much like with Peter, God works on our hearts. God works on our hearts, calling us to reorient our whole selves around Jesus Christ. It's a decision to submit our lives to Christ, to choose to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ by choice. And it can open up all kinds of new and amazing possibilities for our lives. To present our bodies, to give our whole selves to God, sets our lives on a course where we will discover what is good and acceptable and perfect. C.S. Lewis once wrote these words. He says, "Every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different from what it was before. And taking your life as a whole, with all of your innumerable choices, all your life long, you're slowly turning this central thing either into a heavenly creature or into a hellish creature. Either into a creature that is in harmony with God and with other creatures and with itself, or else into one that is in a state of war and hatred with God and with its fellow creatures and with itself. To be the one kind of creature is joy and peace and knowledge and power. To be the other means madness, horror, idiocy, rage, impotence, and eternal loneliness. Each of us at each moment is progressing to one state or the other." The choices, the decisions we make set us on our life's path. They determine the way we will go. In the verses from Romans we heard this morning, Paul says, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice." Tyler Tully, in the book A Living Alternative, says, "True faith can be said to be something that lives, not something one thinks of or confesses to. An alive or living faith implies that which is performed, experienced, and life-giving." So Paul says, "Present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God." That word "living" implies there's something happening. It implies action. It's a faith that is alive, doing something in us, and then is evident in our words and in our actions. A living and transforming faith is not static. Something is always happening in us. Something is always changing about us. And it's not a do-it-yourself kind of change. It's God working in our hearts, calling us to discern His will for our lives. So God is calling all of us to set our lives on the way that leads to that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Some of us have made the choice to travel in the way of Jesus. Some of us have been on the way for a long time. Some are just beginning. No matter where we are on the journey, sometimes reality is we take some wrong turns. We had TV service through one of those satellite companies a number of years ago, and we seemed to regularly lose the signal. When I checked with the company, they said, "Well, it's probably because the dish moved slightly and needed to be reoriented so it received the signal better." Sometimes that happens with those of us who've been on the way with Jesus. We move off the path that Jesus laid out for us. We make a poor choice and we get disconnected from the signal. We get disconnected from God. But then God works on our hearts, calling us back and calling us to reconnect to the voice of Jesus. The story is told of Vance, an African-American living in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood in New York City. But what really sets Vance apart is that he's a very servant-hearted father who cares not only for his own kids, but also for the many other kids who play on the streets near his building. One night around 9 p.m., there was a knock on Vance's door. There was a 16-year-old boy who lived a few doors down who needed help tying his tie. He had a big presentation at school the next day, and he had no father to help him get ready. Well, after Vance had finished tying the tie, the boy sheepishly asked, "Do you have a pair of black dress shoes I could borrow?" Well, immediately Vance thought of a brand new pair of shoes in his closet that he hadn't even taken out of the box yet. He was certain God was telling him to give the boy those shoes. Vance cringed inside. He told the boy to wait at the door as he headed into the apartment to look for any pair of shoes, but this pair. And before he went to the closet, though, he told his wife what he sensed God was telling him to do. And she agreed that it sounded like God had given him a great idea. So Vance got out his new shoes and brought them to the boy. His last hope was that they wouldn't fit. After all, how many 16-year-olds have size 12 feet? Well, they fit perfectly. And just a few weeks after Vance gave away his new shoes, he and his wife sensed God calling them to start a Bible study for the kids in their building. After much prayer, they decided to invite the kids to their apartment on a Sunday evening, and they ordered 4 Bibles in case any kids came. Well, that Sunday, 7 kids showed up at Vance's apartment, led by that 16-year-old owner of the new pair of shoes. The following week, they ordered more Bibles, and 14 kids showed up. How do you know God's call? It starts with a stirring in your heart. Then as God works on your heart, God begins that transformation, leading you to what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's something very, very real. It's something that you know is happening. And one way God's call becomes real is that you find yourself in a living conversation with God. You hear God's voice, and yes, maybe even sometimes audibly. You feel God's tug on your life, transforming and reorienting. Something's happening inside, in your heart. It's an interchange at first. That's what was happening with that 16-year-old boy who came to Vance's door. God was working on his heart, and that inner transformation, that living and real conversation with God, was beginning to happen in his life. It's a transformation that's never complete. It just keeps happening as you keep that living conversation going, that connection with God going each day. Soon that inner transformation becomes visible in your life. Your visible life will reflect your inner life. Your life will begin to show God's transforming presence. You choose to follow along the way with Jesus. You choose to give your life as a living sacrifice, living out your faith in real time and real space. That's what was happening with Vance. His transformed life was showing in his actions. Those inner and outer experiences of faith cannot be separated. God's call begins in your heart, with God's Spirit working on your inner life, transforming your mind to be like the mind of Christ. And that transformation then begins to show in your outer life, in your decisions, in your words, and in your actions. We're called to submit to and orient our whole lives around Jesus Christ, imitating his life in ours. The world as it is today makes that kind of life challenging, with so many choices and so many voices and too little time. But like C.S. Lewis said, all of those 1,788,000 decisions we will make in our lifetime, all our life long, we're slowly turning ourselves either into a heavenly creature or into a hellish creature, either into a creature that is in harmony with God or into one that is in a state of war and hatred with God. In one way or another, our lives are transforming. We're being changed. How? It depends on the decisions we make, and especially that one most important decision, to believe or not to believe, to follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus, to submit our lives to God, presenting our bodies, our whole selves, as a living sacrifice or not. Our transformation is never complete. For good or ill, our lives are on a trajectory which is determined by the choices and the decisions we make. Those first disciples of Jesus were called followers of the way. Are you on the way with Jesus? Do you sense God's call, God's working on your heart, leading you to what is good and acceptable and perfect? Is your inner life and your outer life looking more and more like Jesus? Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, "Oh, to be like thee, precious Redeemer." you've never made that one most important decision to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, I invite you to do that and speak to me. I'd be glad to speak with you and walk with you through that journey. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Stamp your image deep in my heart. Might that be your prayer as you go from this place to love and serve and go in Christ's peace. Amen.